Okay. Whoa. Yes, we have sound. Oh, I've been really, really nervous about this. put on a different hat. Worship leading any time, okay? Over speaking. But it is so nice to stand here and see familiar faces. Thank you. Thank you. So, this second session is the theme goes kind of going into the deep. And just want to start, comes from Luke chapter 5. And when Jesus had finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into the deep water and let your nets out for a catch." And Simon said, "Master, we have been fishing hard all night and we haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets." And it was no sooner said than it was done. A huge haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. And Simon Peter, when he saw it, he fell to his knees before Jesus. "Master, just leave. I'm a sinner. I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." And when they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everyone with him. And it was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons, co-workers with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." And they pulled their boats up on the beach. They left them, nets and all, and they followed him. Jesus had spent some time teaching, and as far as I know, this is the first time that Simon Peter and these guys have met him. That's as far as I know, you know. So there is something about, you know, how Jesus has taught, how he has been with them, that grabs these guys. And so when he asks, "Come on, push your boats out into the deep," Simon Peter can say, "Yes, yeah, I will. I'll listen to you. I'll go with you. I'll go out into the deep." And they let down their nets and they pull up this monstrous great catch that just about capsizes the two boats. It goes all against the grain for the fishermen because evidently you're meant to fish in the deep in the night, and you fish in the shallows during the day in that area of the world. So the whole thing was kind of against the grain. This is not sensible. This is not logical. But they listened to what Jesus was asking them to do. They went out to the deep and they pulled up this amazing catch. This catch, it's kind of, I think it's a picture of what's going to happen in the future, of what they're going to be doing with Jesus for years to come, you know, that they are going to be these fishers of men. And also, there is something that's always kind of bothered me about this story. You think, what happens to the families? You know, what were their wives around, you know, when they just kind of said yes to Jesus and walked off? And I'm kind of hoping that families were there as part of that day together, you know, that they'd heard the teaching of Jesus and they understood, you know, when these guys said yes and went off and followed him. I'm kind of really hoping that the families were with them. And I wonder whether part of this great big catch is actually a provision, you know, for the families, because they're actually losing their main breadwinner, their earner, the person who kind of does the fishing. So that's one of the takes on that. I think too, I've always kind of wondered, you know, what would it be like if those, you know, those first guys that he called, if they hadn't been fishermen, you know, if they'd been builders, you know, would he then have said to them, come on, follow me, you know, and I'll make you builders of lives, builders of men. And if it had been a group of nurses that Ed first met and called, you know, that he might have said, come on, follow me, and I'm going to make you healers of lives. You can play this game at lunchtime, you know, about kind of what Jesus might have said to people. The best one I think that I came up with, you know, was what Jesus might have said if it was a group of accountants that he had first met and called. Well, I thought that he just might have said, come follow me and I will make your lives count for something. Anyway, you can play that game at lunchtime. All right, that was quite fun. That was kind of some of the middle of the night stuff when I was nervous about this. So, there is a call to each one of us that comes from Jesus, and the right response to the message of the kingdom of God is obedience. It's yes. And it can feel like going into the deep. I'm just going to share four scenarios this morning. I just kind of thought back, going into the deep, to me it's kind of got connotations of my heart is pounding, my stomach is squirming, I am out of my depth, I am out of the comfort zone, and I am going into the deep. So scenario number one is the 20-year-old Pauline, and I'm on the back of Ken's trail bike, and we're going over the Lindis Pass back in the days when it was still a gravel road, over to my first YWAM outreach. And I was really scared. So I'm an absolute wuss, just in case you don't know. And I was on the back of Ken's bike on this gravel road thinking, do you know what? There is a bit of me that would actually quite like if we just did a little spin out on a corner and I just hurt myself just slightly, you know, so that I didn't have to go on this outreach. I was really scared. You know, didn't want to die. We didn't need to have a big accident and die. Didn't need to do that. But, you know, just a little accident so that I could get out of this. And we didn't, you know. And I arrived at this YWAM outreach, never had anything to do with YWAM before. And it was stunning. Back in the day, you know, YWAM, it still is radical, but back in the day it was really radical. And the teaching was fabulous, you know, kind of Father Heart of God stuff and cults and, you know, really kind of interesting stuff. And the worship, that was the beginning of, you know, kind of worship for me. That was also pretty cool back in the day. So, you know, you kind of float along for this, you know, day or two with the stunning teaching, you know, and the worship, and then you've got to go on outreach. You know, that out into the mall and talk to people about Jesus. Once again, I wished I could have an accident or something. Honestly, I think I was so scared that I sat down and cried at one stage. But, right, okay, we're going out. And so we're out in the mall there in Queenstown, and we've kind of got together this, what was it, song and dance routine, you know, just kind of, you know, dramas and quick testimonies and songs and that kind of thing. We just kind of do this thing in the mall, you know, group of people gather, and then you kind of go out and chat to people. This is the first time I have ever done this in my life, you know. And there is a guy that just kind of catches my eye. And kind of afterwards, I just catch him and say, you know, kind of, how are you going? You know, was there anything in there that was kind of grabbing you? Or, you know, would you like to come back, you know, to this big marquee that we've got set up, you know, down on the lakefront? He came back. He talked to some of the other guys. That was my little link, you know, in the chain. And that guy went on to become a Christian and probably actually one of the superb leaders in the Queenstown Church, you know, over that next kind of 10 years or so. So that was a real buzz. That was a goodie, that one. Another time of Into the Deep, Jerry Jellyman. we're standing on a boat It's just off the coast of Tonga, and we're out. We're meant to be going swimming with the whales. The whales are there. There's a whale and a calf, and it's just incredible. The buzz is this is amazing, you know. And you kit it up in your wetsuit. You've got your snorkel, your flippers, you know, whatever. And I'm standing there in my wetsuit thinking, I really hope they wash these between people because I can understand how people pee themselves, you know. And we're about to go out into the deep. And then the jolly whale swims away. And we spent the rest of the day chasing whales, and it was only that first group that ever got to swim with one. So in that instance, I didn't get to go into the deep, but yeah. There is another lovely passage about the deep. Jesus stayed on alone. It was kind of after a great big kind of teaching session. Actually, I think it might be after he had done, he'd fed the 5,000. He stayed on alone, and he sent the disciples back across the lake. And meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them, and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. And they were scared out of their wits. "It's a ghost," they said, crying out in terror. And Jesus was quick to comfort them. "Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." And Peter, suddenly bold, says, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come ahead." Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus. But when he looked down at the waves churning around his feet, he lost his nerve and he started to sink and he cried, "Master, save me." And Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and he grabbed his hand and he said, "Faint heart, what got into you?" And the two of them climbed into the boat and the wind died down. And the disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshipped Jesus, saying, "This is it. You are God's son for sure." So for me, we're up to scenario three. Okay, this is going to be quite quick. You'll all be able to enjoy coffee this morning. Cool. Scenario number three was getting off the plane in Mendi in the southern highlands of Papua New Guinea with my young family and my husband and thinking, oh my gosh, there is just this sea of brown faces there, and has anyone come to pick us up? And yes, they had. And that was the beginning for us of 4 years up in Papua New Guinea. Ken was the principal of a trade school, so young guys from all over Papua New Guinea kind of came to us and spent 3 years with us. So we had about, it varied, didn't it, between kind of 70 to 90 young guys there. And you think, what a privilege to not only train these young guys, you know, train them up kind of in carpentry, but also every day to have the opportunity to speak into their lives, you know, about God, the love of God, why Jesus came, and then kind of to disciple them on in that. What an absolute privilege and a joy. And at the same time, there was the pain of, we had school riots over food that were pretty jolly scary. There was one night, you know, we had stones being thrown onto the roof, and I really kind of thought, oh my gosh, you know, kind of what have we done? There was the beauty of living, you know, in Papua New Guinea, up in the rugged southern highlands, the joy of being able to go down to Madang, you know, on the coast. And I think that's been some of the most stunning kind of snorkeling and stuff that I've done. And yet, at the same time, there was the ugliness sometimes of driving through some of the conflict areas. There was always tribal warfare going on when we were up there, and it kind of felt like one of those forest fires. It would just get dampened down there and it would pop up, you know, kind of somewhere else. And that was actually just part of life of where we were. And we had to learn that when we had kind of some of our young students coming to us and saying, I need to get out, you know, my tribe's, you know, fighting with Mendi tribe, I need to get out. We actually didn't take them seriously to start with. And we had to learn, actually, they really were kind of in danger, and they would just disappear in the middle of the night. So, beauty, ugliness, driving through an area of a conflict area where the houses had all been torched and now they were chopping down the trees. So that, I don't know, the trees did something to my heart of that's people's livelihood for the next 10, 15 years, you know, kind of until the trees grow again. And then being held up by, you know, armed guys. Ken was behind me in the truck. I was in our, what do we have? Toyota, the Hilux. I was in the Hilux with the kids. Ken's behind me and I'm driving up and I suddenly realise that on the top of the hill, they used to dress up like Rambo. There was something about Rambo that was really cool. So, you know, kind of black. And I've got these guys at the top of the hill pointing guns at me. And at this stage, honestly, all of my talk pigeon was just out of my head, you know, and I'm, yeah, that's the mother thing that kind of rose up at that stage, and I'm yelling back at them, you know, if you want me to come up there, you point those guns the other way, you know, because I've got my kids in here, thank you very much. And Ken realised what was happening and kind of, you know, came on past me in the truck, and then he got all the guns pointing at him. And it was, they were just checking, you know, that we didn't have kind of any of the enemy kind of in with us, that we weren't trying to smuggle people through. But it's pretty jolly, you know, gut-clenching, whatever stuff, you know, that goes on. And we passed through, you know, and we were kind of on to where we were going. But that was life up there. You know, there was beauty, there was tension, whatever. And I was thinking about some of the graduations that we had. So we had these guys with us, you know, for 4 years, three years, and you got to the end, and they, some of them, were okay builders. You know, they kind of picked up some of the stuff, and some of them were actually really fine Christian guys. You know, and we would have this graduation and they would be presented, you know, with their box of tools from the school to kind of, you know, go out and be good carpenters and fabulous Christian young men. And we had some fabulous graduations. Kath and her brother Godfrey came to one. I think that was a good one. Oh, and Wayne, yeah. I think that one was a good one. And then we had other ones, you know, where the director of the mission came for graduation, and that's the one where a couple of guys turn up drunk, you know, and then the guy that didn't get his certificate because he hadn't done something or he'd nicked something, then took all the electric instruments that we had and hold himself up, you know, and held them for ransom, kind of in the dormitory, you know, until he got his certificate. And this is when we've got the director here, you know, and we're trying to look really good. So there we are. These things happen. And I thought of that incredible thing that happens, you know, when you get under the skin of another culture, another group of people. And I think it happened for both Ken and I, you know, that I remember one day for me, I did a bit of just kind of teaching, you know, maths and English and stuff like that. And I pulled on board some of the Australian Army women to come and help me. And one of them was kind of coming across the field. I thought, oh, rats, she's got her jeans on, you know, because up there women were, you know, you're kind of covered from here to here. So, you know, I wore skirts. And she was coming across the rugby field in her jeans, and I was with one of the staff women, and I said, oh, bother, you know, I forgot to tell her to wear a skirt. And Himali says, oh, Emmy, all right, Emmy passing belong him, so, you know, that's okay, that's her way. And I said, well, what about me? You know, am I allowed to wear jeans? No. You know, you're one of us. You know, and I was just talking with Ken last night about, whoa, when you come to leave, you know, kind of after 4 years up there, there was howlings, and it started very early in the morning, and it was, whew, man, it was really hard. And he had one of the staff guys who came to him and said, Ken White, I want to thank you. You are the first white man that I have ever kind of got under the skin of, you know. And now, you know, we're one bell. We're one heart now. You know, I understand you and you understand us. And I don't know that there's a bigger compliment, actually, than that. You know, so you go out into the deep in fear and trembling, and God meets you there. God meets you there. This is a poem, just picking up that story of Peter walking out to Jesus. And we're all waiting for that abrupt waking and that calling and that moment when we have to say yes, except it may not come so grandly, so biblically, but more subtly and intimately, so that when we finally step out of the boat towards him, we find everything holds us. And everything confirms our courage. And if you wanted to drown, you could, but you don't. Because finally, after all the struggle, you've simply had enough of drowning, and you want to live, and you want to love, and you will walk across any territory and any darkness, however fluid and however dangerous, to take the one hand and the one life you know belongs to you. There is another lovely verse about the deep, and it's in Psalm 42, verse 7, and it says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. And it's, to me, it speaks about kind of the deep things of God, the Spirit of God calls to us, to the deep part of us, to the spirit of us. He calls to us. We are called to grow, to go into the deep in our relationship with God and with our growth and our knowledge of ourselves. This one is a lifelong journey. God calls us to deepen our relationship with him and our knowledge and relationship with ourselves. So just an encouragement, do the stuff. Learn about personality. Do your Myers-Briggs, your Enneagram, your strength finders. Go to the things that are going to deepen your spiritual walk with God. Find out about meditation and reflection and centering prayer and mindfulness, all those things that just kind of deepen our appreciation of who we are and who God is. This has been the practice of our mothers and fathers in Christ. You know, down through the years, they've used these spiritual practices to grow. So here's an encouragement, do it. Find out about them. Do them. So my last scenario is, how do I get myself into these things? It's standing with a group of other women over in Opawa, and I have dobbed myself in for a psychodrama weekend. Okay? It was. In my work, I encourage people, you know, to kind of grow and change. And you can't do that without, you know, how does it go? You know, the fingers pointing back there. That's it, isn't it? If you're pointing at other people, there's a whole lot, you know, kind of pointing back towards you. And I think, so I feel challenged myself. Okay, girl, you need to do some things that are going to just extend and grow you a bit. Do you know what? It was absolutely excellent. The woman who ran it with wisdom and care and nurture and skill. And the group of us who were there, I think everybody did some quite deep work, and you came away with a much deeper appreciation of, actually not just appreciation but healing, you know, of yourself, some of the situations, you know, that you're faced with at the time. So yeah, that was my stand up and go into the deep and do it. When we launch into the deep, I think that we are met deeply. We're nearly at the end. Can I just pause and just pray for some of the people who are working in Southeast Asia, and some of the things, the people, the works that the self-denial time is going to be helping. So can we just pause and just pray for these things? Father, this morning we pray for those who are working in Southeast Asia. Father, we pray for those in poverty. We've seen the video this morning of Ollie, and there are just millions of him. Father, please would you help kind of the circumstances, the processes that hold people in poverty. And would you help that to be short-circuited, that people might move out of poverty? Father, for the poor who are in the deep, the poor who don't have choices, the poor who are sold into slavery, who are sold into sex trade, God, please, would you just help break the cycle? We pray for the brave people who go over and kind of break up some of those rings. May there be more of that. Father, may there be changes in countries and processes that this might just not be. And may we have hearts that just give generously to aid this work. Father, for those who are training up local leaders, wisdom, good language skills, just that getting alongside people that they might enable the local people to do the stuff to spread your kingdom, to spread the message. And Father, for students who come to learn English in language schools sprinkled through Southeast Asia, may they pause long enough to learn also of the love of God who has sent these people to be amongst them. God, for those who are setting up businesses that demonstrate kingdom principles, oh, your blessing. Might this just change lives one by one, change lives village by village. Father, we pray for your blessing upon these things. So it is in the love of Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. This extravagant, costly love of Christ that we cannot contain. Thank you, Wayne. I cannot contain this love.
will keep my eyes always, always set on you. Forever you're my joy.
So all it's about is knowing this wonderful love of God, this great, big, fabulous love of God, and letting it spill out to others. I can't contain this love. So the correct response to the message of the kingdom of God is obedience. It's yes. We're just going to finish with that song that Nicola did early on, I Love You, Lord. If you're at a stage where you want to say yes to God again, and I'm actually expecting all of you up here, if you're at that stage, just come on up and we'll pray with you. There's a prayer team. I would really invite the missions group to come and be praying for people as well. So we're just going to do that. Sing I Love You, Lord, and just come if it's just time to say yes to God again. Yes to the deep. Yes, I love you. Yes.
I love you. Presence with us, your encouragement, your enabling through your love for us, knowing you as God the Father, knowing you as Savior and friend, knowing you as counselor, companion, comforter. God, you go with us. Help us to have courage to launch out into the deep afresh today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're welcome to join us for morning tea out in the foyer. Leave the auditorium with a sense of God at work in this place today. There might be others who want to just stay in the presence of God this morning. So please just quietly make your way into the foyer today and know God's blessing and presence with you this week.